Please welcome to the program now. This is Ari Nagel. He is also known as, I've never said this before, the Sperminator. We talked about him on the program, fathered 78 children, 13 on the way. Ari, good morning. Do I have that right?
No, it's a dynamic number. So right now it's 84 children with 18 women pregnant. Two of them are expecting twins. So if they all really carry to term, I'll have 20 on the way.
That's a lot.
This is remarkable. Besides the morality question, the ethical questions, how does one get started in this this venture?
How do I make the baby? The truth is that it started with a single woman and a lesbian couple, and of course that's the bulk of a lot of families that I helped were basically single women that were in their 40s and they weren't meeting anybody, or maybe even late 30s or any age. And then the lesbian couples obviously needed my help as well. So those are typical of most of my patients. But of course, I have like trans couples or heterosexual couples. Sometimes the husband doesn't have a high sperm count and they need my help. But usually it's a single woman or lesbian.
And I think when I say how you started this, I mean, when did you realize that this is something you wanted to do?
Well, you do it once and it works out and you see the kid is happy, you see the families are happy, and you decide to do it again. And I think it's initially maybe, I'm from a big family and I wanted a big family. And I think that was a part of it, was like, hey, I'd like to grow my family. But then after you have a boy and then you have a girl and then you have a dozen of them, I don't need to grow my family anymore. At this point, it's really about helping the women and knowing how much love and joy I could spread to so many families. Mother's Day, I've tried to at least touch base with every single mom, but it was a lot because it's over 100 people that I need to try and connect with.
I thought it was the kind of thing that was anonymous. And it seems like you have contact with all these kids and these moms.
Right. And that is the typical way. People always say, well, why don't you just do it the normal way? And the normal way is to do it as an anonymous donation, where the child never gets to know who the father is. The mothers never get to know who the father of their child's going to be. There's nothing natural or normal about it. What we're doing is much more normal. It's much more like a traditional family. Now, there are many families that don't want my involvement, and that's okay. Some kids I see all the time. Some I've never met. It's always up to the families that I'm helping, and some of them want me to play a different role. Some I'm more active, and then some I'm playing more of an uncle or a friend role, and then there are kids that I never met. And each family is different. Sometimes there's already a dad in the picture. So it varies, and it's always up to the family.
What's the oldest? I mean, so I don't know what year you started. How many children do you actually have that are out there right now that you know of? Well, I guess you know of them all because you're hands-on in the donation. How many children, not currently in utero, how many children are born and alive and on this planet today that are yours?
Yes. Well, I have 84 that were born. One died at 5 weeks. The mom had preeclampsia, but of course I still count that son.
Right.
And the 83 of them are 12 and under.
Whew, my goodness. And you do a lot of this, I don't know how to say, science-wise, and a lot of it you do hands-on, right?
Well, of the 18 women that I currently have pregnant, three of them use the clinic based on because of their age or maybe where they were located, because of their distance, or because they just had good insurance and I covered it. But of the 18, 15 of them, I just gave them the sperm in a cup. I handed it to them, and then they put it inside themselves. Initially, around a dozen of the moms, we conceived the old-fashioned way, but that was quite a few years ago. Now, there's really no way I can help impregnate 18 women and still protect them from STDs if I was sleeping with them unprotected.
Any sets of twins, triplets, quadruplets, or have they all been single births of all the donations that you've made?
I had twins born in Florida in March of 2017. I had twins born in Philadelphia, December of 2018. February 2020, I had twins born in Kentucky. And then last August, I had twins in the Bronx. And then I have two sets of twins that are on the way, one in Connecticut and one in Hungary.
Are your swimmers better than ours? What makes you more qualified? I think that's my question.
The truth is that I get a semen analysis quite often. They test for three things. One is the count, one is the shape, and one is how well they swim. So it's the count, the morphology, and the motility. And I do score very well on these tests, but it's not extraordinary. It's not like it'll be able to achieve miracles, but I have a high sperm count. But I think that's only part of the reason why some of the women choose me. I think very often when you go to a clinic, they do have different prices for the different quality of sperm. And there, they also just measure those three things, and based on that, they may charge more or less for the sperm. Of course, there's a whole bunch of factors that go into the pricing. Of course, I'm never charging.
But you are a doctor as your profession, right?
No, I'm not a doctor. I'm a teacher. I teach mathematics and computer science at a college here in Brooklyn.
Oh, see, that means your swimmers are worth more because you got smart swimmers. They're not swimming all wrong like mine would. That's why you're a smart
guy. Circles. Yeah.
Yep, and I have two sons in Harrisburg.
How about that? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, here?
Yes. One was just born very, very recently. In fact, I was on the Dr. Oz show last week, and one of the couples there was from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and they were pregnant at the time when it was recorded. But, of course, now they gave birth. And then I also have a five-year-old son.
How do women become aware of the services that you provide? Is it now a... Well, I mean, now your name's everywhere. Everywhere I'm looking, I see the Sperminator, I see your name. But prior to, you know, this getting picked up by the news, how did people get in contact with you? Was it like a referral service where one woman had went to you and then she refers a friend? How did it all come about?
That was a big part of it. The truth is that 5 years ago, it was the New York Post that wrote an article. It was basically exactly 5 years ago. So a lot of my kids are really four and under, and was based off that article, because once I was, the New York Post put it on the cover of their paper and dubbed me the Sperminator. Then Maury called, and I did Maury, and I did some other media. And of course, since then, obviously, I've been to papers all around the world. But initially, it was a little bit of a word of mouth. Sometimes it was an ex-girlfriend that said, you know what, I heard what you did for the lesbian couple. Can you help me? Or then they would refer me. And then some of the moms were like advertising on Craigslist looking for somebody to meet. And I met some of them that way. There were websites and apps now that a lot of women use, but a dozen years ago, that wasn't as common.
Do you maintain relationships? I mean, 83 children and a bunch of them under the age of 12, or are they all under the age of 12, or majority of the 83 under the age of 12?
No, I have 83 children that are 12 and under. And then I have one child that's 17, and that's the 84th.
They start hitting you up for college tuition all at one time, 83 different kids all getting ready to go away to college. And all of a sudden, poor Ari's got to come up with the college funds.
Yeah, we have to get that. You know, for Mother's Day, let me see if I could, you know, maybe cash out each mom $100. But then that's going to be, you know, $10,000. You know, if I had all my savings. And I was like, well, let me give them $10. And then even $10, like $1,000. It just, there's no math there. It really makes, unfortunately, financially, I'm not able to even contribute as much as I'd like to. I had my daughter's birthday on Saturday, you know, it would have been nice if I would have been able to help out, and, you know, pay for the party. But I had seven kids there, and maybe what they're losing out on a full-time father or a rich father, they'll be able to get, and having a lot of brothers and sisters, which I think provides for a rich family life.
What is your, you know, what's your love life like? Are you a married guy? You in a relationship? Are you straight? What is the story? I mean, a partner would probably have to have a pretty pretty open mind, pretty thick skin about allowing this to go on, I would imagine, right?
Yes, that's true. It's almost impossible to date while still helping other women conceive. I tried, and I have a lot of short-term relationships, and I have an account on Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, whatever it is, but ultimately, in the end, it's really just unfair to whoever I'd be dating, because, you know, I have a woman that's ovulating in Camden, New Jersey today, and she's going to want a donation. So that means if my partner wanted to be intimate with me last night, it really wouldn't have been appropriate for me to help to sleep with her if I was going to be making a donation later, because ultimately you want to abstain at least for 24 hours, ideally, or 36 hours before you help a woman conceive. So that puts logistically a bit of a problem. I do also travel a lot to help women conceive, and that makes it difficult to maintain a relationship. And then also, I think women just don't want to accept you helping other women conceive while you're in a committed relationship with them. But I'm 45. I'm not going to do this forever. And in the end, ultimately, I'm sure I'll find the love of my life. I know that's what my parents would like for me, to settle down, just like my four brothers and two sisters that are all married in very traditional relationships.
I guess you'll hang your junk in the Hall of Fame someday, right, Ari? That'll be it, and that'll be your Hall of Fame plaque. Will be your unit.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe a replica.
What do your parents think of being the grandparents to 84 different children? How do they feel about it?
Well, they have 27 grandchildren without me, but of course, with me, they're well over 100. They are a little ashamed of me. They're quite traditional. They're in their 70s, so they're embarrassed about me and my lifestyle. But the truth is that we still get along. In fact, I'm getting together with them in around an hour. We're doing a trip to Atlantic City, and We're still very, very close. I love them. They love me unconditionally, even if they're unhappy and would like me to, settle down in the more traditional family.
Ari, what do people, who don't agree with what you do, what do they say to you and how do you respond?
The most common, comment is always, well, what if the kids start making out with each other, not realizing that that's only an issue with anonymous donations, with known donors like I am, where the children know who their father is and they know who each other are. I had 7 kids show up to their sibling birthday party. So these kids are bonding from a young age and they all know, who their father is. Certainly the moms know who the father is. So there's no danger in them sleeping with each other.
Wow.
Obviously, listen, it's crazy. You read an article, this guy has 84 kids. It doesn't make any sense. He has 18 women pregnant. So it's very sensationalized. And then, of course, the method of conception is always a focus. And they focus on that, even though, I don't know even why that's an issue. But, obviously, I get called a narcissist sometimes. But I think ultimately, in the end, the people's opinions that matter to me are not the people reading the paper. They're the moms of the children that I help, who I consider my family. And obviously, the people that love me and care about me and know me. And I think the people that know me know the kind of person I am and know of. But, and of course, the most important opinion that matters is the opinion that I have of myself. And I feel in my heart of hearts that I'm doing the right thing, spreading so much love and joy to so many different beautiful families.
I mean, normally we have a guest on, we'd have them give their, email address, or talk about the book or where they get the book. So how do people get in touch with you if they need a cup or two? Ari, how's that work?
Well, the price is right because it's free. But most people reach out to me on Facebook or, Instagram or Twitter. My Instagram, my Snapchat is QProfessor. My name is Ari Nagel and people just find me. Or you could just Google Sperminator. It shows up. or Free Sperm NYC. I bet you I'd probably be on the first page for that as well.
Talk about a very strange Google. Go ahead, Rob.
I know that the methodology in which you've made the donations has changed over the years, but in the beginning, from my understanding of the article, it was intimate sessions with the woman that you were trying to, or the woman that was trying to get pregnant. Did you ever find yourself developing feelings with someone you donated your product to, or did you ever find that it caused an issue in a marriage after you consummated with the wife and got her pregnant, and then the husband had, maybe second feelings about it, double guessing himself as to whether that was the right choice?
It's bizarre because the truth is that around a dozen of the families that I helped, I conceived the old-fashioned way. And that was really just because I didn't really know of another way to conceive. I didn't know that I could put it in a cup and they could put it inside and that it'll work. Of course, now a lot of the women just use a menstrual cup that costs 79 cents at Target or CVS, and it's easy and quick and it works just the same as the old fashioned way. A lot of the women that I slept with, initially were lesbian couples and they've never even slept with a guy. So I don't think they were developing feelings for me or I'm developing feelings for them. And the truth is that I have a lot of love for a lot of the moms and I think they love me back, even if it's not of the romantic nature. I'm still very appreciative for what they do for my children every single day. And then, of course, they appreciate the gift that I was able to give them and help them grow their families.
Do you have a contract with these women? Do you have anything in writing with them?
I never required a contract, but some of the women do, especially initially when they don't know me. But it's very, very rare, to be honest. Most of the women never ask me for a contract. But once in a while, they do, and I'll sign whatever contract they like. The standard contract that you could print out online. The truth is that I don't even know how enforceable it is. I don't think the state recognizes them signing a contract saying they can't sue me. I think in the end, if they still wanted to sue me, they could still sue me for child support. It wouldn't really make a difference. I think ultimately in the end, it's the child's right to sue. Now, that being said, of course, a dozen years ago, the laws have changed. Different states have updated it. And I think now that the gay marriage is legal, I think that protects me in some ways because then the two moms can be on the birth certificate as opposed to them trying to put my name. So there is additional protections now that weren't available a dozen years ago. Sometimes, some countries require a contract. So in those cases, I've always signed the contract, but most of the women in the United States did not ask me for a contract unless we use a fertility clinic. Then there's a whole bunch of contracts that we have to sign because more often than not, I'm going as their partner, not as their donor. So we have to sign, well, what if I die? What should we do with the embryo? What if you die? What if we both die?
So right.
It's like buying a house. You got to sign 30 times, but generally there's no contract.
It's just like buying a house, folks. There you have it. All right. Thank you for joining us in the program today. We've learned so much and good luck to you. Okay.
You bet. Nice chatting.